I saw a man, I saw Wayne McCain leading services one night in the Texas camp meeting there, and he told them this. He said, I want to tell all the congregation this tonight. If the platform don't worship God, then you are not obligated to worship God. But if this platform worship God, then you are obligated to worship God tonight. And I want to tell you one thing, friend. That platform began to worship God, and when that platform began to worship God, the presence of God began to come down. People begin to shout. People begin to run. The service went wild. Hallelujah. I saw James Kilgore had a white suit on from his head to his toe. He laid down on the platform and rolled back and forth upon that platform. Hallelujah. What are you saying, friend? They think we should formalize our worship today, friend. They think we should dignify our worship tonight. I'm going to tell you one thing tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. I believe in shouting. I believe in running the aisle. I believe in being emotional. I believe in getting on fire for Almighty God. Come on now, friend. We don't have to go the way of history tonight, but we can make history tonight. We are living in a day and an hour tonight, friend, where the world and the church phenomenon, the world, say we are the 21st century church, and we don't need to act like that. I want to act like that, different from everybody else. What about Sister Lambert? How long you had the Holy Ghost, my sister? Oh, hallelujah. Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you one thing, friend. Churches have changed since 60 years ago. Amen. I'm going to tell you, God's not pleased with the building. God's not pleased with the bank account. Amen. God's not pleased with the members we got. Let me finish. History say this because others have done it and others are doing it today. You and I are being pressed, assailed, and attacked every day by those who tell us that we must go the way others have gone. This was preached in 1968, friend. Amen. I ask again, can we survive this onslaught of history? Let's take a brief look at the historical record. History records the rise and fall of many religion movements through the century. And almost every time, this was caused by the rise and fall of a spiritual fever in the church. This was true of Israel. If you study the graph of Israel history, you will find it is up and down, rising and falling, depending upon the spirituality of the people. You can't worship God if you ain't got nothing. Scripture said God is a spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Bible says, amen, that our spirit will bear witness with His spirit. If He is spirit, and if we got His spirit, then friend, I'm going to tell you, our spirit needs to bear witness with His spirit in worshiping. Scripture said God inhabits the praise. He lives in the worship of His people. Can I be safe to say this right here, Sister Malone? Every time Israel, amen, spirituality was up and they worshiped God, they had victory over their enemies. But when they was down, when they was going the way of the heathen, then the enemy would defeat them. Think about what I'm saying tonight, church. Amen. Amen. This is also true of the history of American religion. Many of the great early American churches was fought with discord and division. Some wanted to remain orthodox and fundamental in beliefs and practice, while others chose to depart from fundamental and orthodox. This was true of the Presbyterian, who maintained a close fellowship with the Congregationalist. Boog, I wish you wouldn't have done that. Congregationalist. Did I say that halfway right, Brother Wayne? It was also true of the Episcopalians, who had what was known as a high party and a low party in its rank. I'm going to hit this two different ways, friend. There is no big eyes and little ears in the eyes of God. And if we, I think the only time we can worship God is when everything's going well, we got a problem. We need to worship God when we're low. We need to worship God when we're high. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I believe this, friend. No matter what kind of situation you be are in, you can praise your way out of that situation. Huh? Amen. 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 Let's see where I'm at here. The low party was evangelical in spirit and favored simplicity of worship. The high party was not so fervent or evangelistic and desired a more formal type of worship. The low party gradually lost its influence, and the high and formalistic party took over. Huh. You heard the old saying, a bad apple is for the whole barrel. Honey, let me tell you one thing. We need to get an attitude and a spirit in our church. You either get in it and get after it, or get ran over.
That's right, amen. That's good. All right. Good Lord. Good
Lord. Good Lord. What?
Formalization is a rut.
That's good.
You know what I've been told a rut is? It's a long grave with both ends knocked out of it. Where we at, church? Can we survive the onslaught of history? Amen, amen. Other religion groups such as a Baptist and Methodist made great impression on the people of their day. They gained followers by their simplicity of manner and message, by their spiritual fervor. Many of their ministers worked with their hands, and this had a strong appeal to the common people. The famous circuit rider who rode his horse from station to station, mission to mission, preaching the gospel in the old-fashioned way, came out of these groups. These denominations were also troubled by division, and some departed from the faith and spirituality. The strong tendency of the church to divide and subdivide is noted in American church history. From this, such denomination of the Mormons, the Adventists, Christian Scientists, and the Jehovah Witnesses came. The years following World War I was known as boom year. In these years of tremendous prosperity, wealthy men gave generous to the church, which resulted in the erecting of costly and beautiful church buildings across the land. But in keeping with the beauty of these edifices, the worship services was made formal. Their preacher wore gown, their choir wore robe. A more dignified type of music was introduced into the church. The processional and recessional and such things were begun. Elaborate church's service was hell, but attendance declined. The preaching of the Word of God disappeared, and the church lost sight of its central purpose. Someone put it this way: the heart has been removed from the church. This is some of the history that is pressing us tonight. This is some of the history that has attacked us, and that say we must follow suit, that we must go the way they have gone, that we must worship the way they worship, that we must dress the way they dress, that we must act the way they do. This is history pressing in on the United Pentecostal Church. Notice the principle of the early church, and they continue steadfast in the apostle doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and of prayer, and as well as in worship. And the Lord added to the church. Because the church followed these principles, it became a church different from any other religion body of that day. Thank God for that, because it followed these principles. It revolutionized the religion from what the other religion did. And because it followed these principles, it became a flourishing church. Church. Amen. In some Pentecostal church, you can't tell the saints of God, amen, from the sinners tonight, friend. Come on now. What are you saying, friend? Amen. That's what we're trying to tell you tonight. Amen. I believe we need to come out from among them and be a separated people and touch not the unclean thing. I believe we need to look different. We need to act different. We need to walk different. We need to talk different. Come on now. I refuse to let any sinner out worship me tonight, amen? You know what Sister Sue said? The teacher that taught me in school, friend, I don't believe they watch TV. I remember one time every month we had to give a book report. Amen. We had to read a book one time a month and give an all book report. I didn't have one. So I got up and I told about a Western I watched on TV. You didn't get caught? No. I know that the old teacher I had never did watch TV. And when I began to tell their report, I told word for word. And them old boys, they sat back and they began to giggle because they saw the same movie. And that teacher sat there with enthusiasm and listened at me. Amen. And I told it word for word. And you know what happened? She gave me an A for it. Amen, amen. Why are you saying all that, Brother Freeman? Amen. Back then, friend, our teachers was not heard of going to a bar room. Them teachers back there was not heard of hardly watching TV or nothing like that. When they would eat, they would pick up. I'd starve to death watching them eat. They'd take those English peas and they would pick up one or two or three at a time and bring it up to their mouth. I done have a can down my throat before they got one fart full to their mouth. Amen. Sister Sue said, now all the teachers at Northwood meet at GG 2 and 3 times a week and everything like that. Honey, I'm going to tell you one thing to you. Amen. We are living in a day, amen, when the young people want to look at, come on now, they want to look at a role model tonight, amen. And I don't believe going to GG or anywhere else is a role model. But I believe when they're in the house of God, worshiping and praising Almighty God, and living a holy and a dedicated life, I believe that's a role model to go by tonight, amen? Where I'm at? Jesus. Hallelujah. Let me just start some words here. Amen. 120 was filled with the Holy Ghost at one time. 3,000 was saved in one day. 5,000 was saved at another time. Multitude believed the Word of God. A whole city believed the gospel and turned to Jesus Christ. The gospel spread to other races. It spread out to reach the Gentile. Persecution, instead of discouraging the people of God and dispersing them into oblivion, spread the gospel of Christ. I'm talking about a flourishing church. Come on now. Come on now. Amen. I want to preach the truth if all hell and faith come down upon us tonight. Come on. We need to buy the truth and we need not sell it. Can I say this right here with all the love of God in my heart? We need to buy the truth and we need to live the truth. Come on now. I said we need to buy the truth and we need to live the truth. Amen. Amen. Come on now. I still believe God got power to do anything tonight. I believe God can heal cancer. I believe God can heal AIDS. I believe God, come on now, can change a prostitute tonight. I believe God can change a homosexual tonight. I believe God, come on now. Amen. That's the Spirit. I'm fixing to give you my philosophy. Amen. And I know you might disagree with me. A lot of people say, amen, that a gay person, friend, was born like that. Amen. I don't believe that. Help me, Doc. I'm not looking at nobody else but you now. I don't believe they were born like that. I believe that's a spirit in the world. And I believe, friend, that the Holy Ghost, which is a spirit of God, is greater than this homosexual spirit that is in the world today. Amen? Come on now. And if people will repent of their sin and get a hold of God, I believe God can deliver them from any kind of spirit that is like that. Amen? Woo, hallelujah. Because a church stood by its principle, prison walls were shaken. And this gospel message was brought to the attention of kings and rulers. It was a flourishing church. It was a different church. It was a revolutionary church because they held to certain principles. They want one thing one night and another thing tomorrow. Come on now. What they lived in the house of God, they lived on the street. Come on. When they said you either denounce it, you're going to die. Come on now. Peter said, John said, Peter, we're going to crucify you. He said, crucify me with my head down and my feet in the air because I'm not worthy to die as my Lord died. I say unto you tonight that the United Pentecost Church is a flourishing church because up to now it has followed in belief and in practice the same principle of the early church. But history says it cannot continue. History says it has to stop. It cannot go on. We cannot always be holy. We cannot always be a holiness believing church, a Jesus name baptizing church, a repenting church, a Holy Ghost tongue talking church. I'm going to tell every one of you one thing here tonight, if I may, by the help of God. You can stand over your loved ones, friend, in a casket in this church and say, and knowing they didn't have the Holy Ghost and knowing they was never baptized in Jesus' name. And you can say, oh, they better off where they are. I beg your difference. I said, I beg your difference. Amen, amen, amen. The Bible said if our gospel be hid, it hid to them that are lost, whom the God of this world has blinded the mind of them. Amen. And they're going to believe a lie and are damned tonight. Amen. I'm going to tell you what, that if it takes the Holy Ghost for you, Brother Dwayne, it's going to take the Holy Ghost for my family. Come on now. Come on now. When Buddy got the Holy Ghost, amen, over in the old church, he went back to his mom and daddy that raised him in a so-called Pentecostal church. He said, I want to tell y'all this. He said, y'all raised me telling me I was Pentecost. He said, but I want to tell you what, that you're not the Pentecostal like they are at Red Store. They preach is different. They teach is different. They dress different. They act different. You're not what they are. Come on now. If our gospel be hid, it hid to them that are lost. The Bible said, we got some, come on, we got some that's got a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof from sin. Turn away. Did you hear what I said? The Bible says in the last day, there's going to be some that's going to have a form of godliness. Come on. They're going to say they're Pentecost. They're going to say they got the Holy Ghost. Come on now. They're going to say they're the same as we are tonight. Amen. But the Bible said they deny the power thereof. I'm going to tell you one thing, friend. The Bible said, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Not in their sin. You become a new Christian in Christ Jesus. You're going to love the things you used to hate and hate the things you used to love. I've got problem with somebody that get the Holy Ghost and never change. Let me tell this little story here, Sister Rhonda. Brother Edwards received the Holy Ghost when he was 34 years old. My wife was, what, 3 years old, something like that. He received the Holy Ghost at Robeline there. Amen. And he went to his sister and her brother-in-law, amen, who was Catholics. Amen. And his brother-in-law is Joe Maggio. Amen. Maggio is well-known people in the city of Natchitoches. Maggio Liquor is this man's brother. Amen. They wealthy people in Natchitoches and everything. When he went, Brother Edwards went to him. Oh, brother, Uncle Joe Maggio said this. Well, I tell you one thing. If that Holy Ghost do anything for Eddie Edwards, I'm going to get me some of that Holy Ghost there. Amen. After about 30-something years of living for God, Brother Edwards went back to Uncle Joe and said, well, Joe, you said that if the Holy Ghost do anything for Eddie Edwards, you're going to get you some. I've been living for God 30-something years, and you ain't got it yet. And he began to laugh. Amen. But somehow or another, he got where he liked the way I preach. And every time he would ask for that, when is the little preacher man coming back to Roebling there? And every time I'd go and preach, Uncle Joe and Uncle Charlie was there. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm saying all that to say this. Amen. Aunt Rosie died, Brother Edward's sister. Amen. Uncle Joe died and everything there. Amen. But you know what happened the other day? Amen. Brother Edward's got a phone call from his niece, amen, Uncle Joe's granddaughter, in amen, that lives in Pineville. Amen. And she said this, okay, Eddie, I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost this morning in Brother Wheatley Church in Ball. They're going to baptize me tonight in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. Uncle Joe never got it. Aunt Rosa never got it. Amen. Chalou never got it. But I'm going to tell you one thing, friend. You saw, and God is going to bring the increase tonight. Amen. You heard me tell about Brother Edward's niece that was in that Catholic prayer meeting praying and received the Holy Ghost, spoke in tongues, went home, began to throw her pants away, began to throw her jewelry away, and everything like that. Her husband said, what's wrong with you, Myrna? Amen. Amen. She said, I don't know, but I got something in me that's telling me it's wrong. It's wrong. Amen. He called Brother Edwards up and said, Uncle Eddie, Myrna has went nuts. She was praying in a prayer meeting at the Catholic church. Amen. And she began to speak speaking a language that I don't know what she said. She acts like she's drunk. Brother Edward said she got the Holy Ghost. Charlie, you need to bring her over here and let me baptize her in the name of Jesus Christ. But Brother Dwayne, she never did. She never did. When her daughter received the Holy Ghost the other day, she called up her mama and said, "Mama, I got the Holy Ghost. I got the Holy Ghost. They're going to baptize me in the Jesus name." And the old devil rose up in her mama and said, "How you know you got the Holy Ghost? Did you speak in tongues?" She said, "Yeah, I spoke in tongues." Her old mama said, "Why don't you speak in tongues right now for me?" She said, "I can't, mama, unless the Spirit of God give the utterance." Her daddy walked over to her, caught her by the arm, and told her this, "Julie, you listen at me, Julie. Don't you listen at your mama. Don't you worry about what your mama. I'm happy for you. I'm proud for you." Amen. He said, "Your grandma Edwards had the Holy Ghost. Uncle Eddie got the Holy Ghost. Now you got it." She said, he said, "I'm tickled to death. I'm so happy for you." Come on, friend. Come on. The acorn. Don't fall far from the acorn tree tonight. Come on now, you sow, and God will bring the increase. Let me caution about something. If or when this happened, our real growth as a church will be stagnant. For these things will hinder and retard the growth of God's church. Come on now. There's a pew in this church for everybody. But there's a line to be drawn. I said there's a line being drawn. Everybody don't go in our Sunday school room and teach. And I'm going to say this right here. If any of you teachers teaching anything, friend, against what I preach behind this pulpit, you need to resign. Come on now. I believe, friend, amen, that we are subject unto the prophet tonight. How that scripture say tonight? Prophecy is subject unto the prophet tonight. Amen? Come on. I don't care what kind of gift you have tonight. I believe in the gifts of the Spirit. I believe all nine of them should be in operation in the church of the living God today. But church, let me tell you one thing, friend. Your gift never override the pulpit. Your gift is subject unto the leadership in the pulpit. Praise the Lord. We may grow numerically. Yeah. But die spirituality.
That's right.
What good?
Come on.
It's 1,000 people.
That's right. Come on.
They don't worship.
Church, I'm going to say this right here. When I came in the church 30-something years ago, TV was preached so hard as smoking. Come on now. TV was preached. I'm not saying this because this elder sister is here tonight. I say this always. Amen. But I'm going to say this right here. I'm still not for TV. Amen. Even though we all got all those monitors, that's more spiritually for TVs. Thank you. Amen. But that don't make it right. Hallelujah. And this preacher told me one time, this old preacher told me this one time. I said, "Brother, Just about everything in my church got TV. He told me this. He said, "Brother, I'd rather have a church full of people with TV with a good spirit than a church full of people without TV and a bad spirit." Us, Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Our membership may increase, but our fellowship with God will decrease when history takes over. The day that you and I depart from the prosper of that early church, will be the day that we lose our contact with God, our touch of God, the Spirit of God, the power of God, and the saving grace of God. I'm trying to skip forward. I can't get through with this. Let me just hit this last part, if I may. Oh, my God, I feel the Holy Ghost. The story is told of a young 13-year-old boy, the sturdy son of a frontiersman who fell one day and skinned his left knee. It was just a scratch and it ached, but he ignored it. 2 days later, the leg ached too badly to drag it to the barn. It was Sunday, so the boy stayed at home. By noon, he climbed into his bed, and his foot was swollen so large that he had to cut his shoe off. His mother bathed his leg, applied and bathed the young lad's forehead. Dr. Copeland came to the house. He looked at the boy's leg and said, "It's not likely that we can save it." The boy asked, "What that mean?" The doctor answered, "It means that if it gets worse, we have to amputate it." "Not me," the boy stormed. "I won't have it. I'd rather die." The doctor said, "The longer we wait, the more we will have to cut off." The boy cried defiantly, "You won't take any off." The boy called his brother Ed in a voice hoarse and pain, with pain. He said, "Ed, if I go out of my head, don't let them cut off my leg. Promise me, Ed, don't let them cut off my leg." Ed ran to the kitchen, got a fork, then ran back and put it between the boy's teeth to keep him from screaming. Then he stood outside his brother's door, folded his arm, looked the doctor in the eyes, and announced, "Nobody is going to saw off that leg." The doctor said, "Ed, you be sorry." Ed said, "Maybe so, but I have given him my word." And the boy never yielded. He even defied the parental authority of the home, which was unheard in that day. He stood guard at his brother's bedroom door day and night. He never left. He ate his meal there. He slept there. For 2 whole days, he never left that door. The boy fever mounted. He babbled in torment. The discoloration in his leg crept up towards his pelvis. At one time, the old doctor shouted in rage, "It's murder!" As he slammed out the door, the family realized that it would take a miracle to save this boy's leg. In the turmoil of their fear, the parent had forgotten all about their faith. They remembered that the boy, old grandpa, had been a vigorous, an inspiring farmer minister in Pennsylvania. He had believed in healing by faith. So they began to pray for the boy's leg. The mother, the dad, and Ed took turns. And later the other four boys joined them. They took turns praying for the boy and going out and doing the farm work. The next time the doctor came, he saw that the swelling was going down. He raised his head and closed his eye and prayed on an old rusty prayer of thanksgiving. That prayer vigilantly went on all day. At night, they lit the coal oil lantern. Then the boy opened his eyes. The sweating had gone away, gone way down. And the discoloration had almost vanished. In 3 weeks, the boy was pale and weak. But with eyes clear and voice strong, he could stand up. And so, Dwight Eisenhower was ready to face life. But he was one of our last five generals, one of the five-star generals. Oh, my God, I feel the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to liken the ministry of this church to Ed, who stood guard at the door. The ministry is a guard of the door of the church, standing against the onslaught of history. History say we must amputate the fundamental for salvation. But the minister say, you never cut it out. I've given my word. I'm going to preach Acts 2:38. I'm going to preach death, burial, and the resurrection today. It's to say that we must lower our standard of holiness. But I'd like for every minister of this church to pledge and promise tonight that the standards of this church would never be lowered. It's to say that we must fellowship everybody, that we should not put up so many barriers. But I challenge the ministers to stand at the door of the church and say, we shall protect our fellowship. We shall keep the enemy out. It's to say that we shall have to amputate true worship from the church. We don't need demonstration or emotional, so let's amputate. The longer it goes, the more we will have to cut off. But the ministers at the door said, nobody will ever cut that off. I have given God my word. He should say that fervent prayer is no longer necessary, so let's eliminate it. We don't need to pray all together. God can't understand all of us when we pray like that. Let's just have one person pray a dignified prayer. But I challenge the ministers to stand in the door and say, real prayer will never be amputated from this church. History say we must preach a social gospel and cut off the saving gospel. But the ministers stand at the door and say, I gave my word. We always work for lost souls. In the darkest hour of World War II, Sir Winston Churchill, with that bulldog determination for which he was noted for, told Britain, we shall fight on the beaches, we shall fight on the fields, in the street, we shall fight in the hill, we shall never surrender. Man. I say unto the United Pentecostal Church that we must have this same bulldog determination. We shall never subscribe. Amen. We shall never capitulate to history. We shall fight the good fight of faith wherever there is sin, in the city, in the village, on the mission field, among the young, among the middle age, among the old, among the poorest of the richest. Wherever there are people, we shall fight. And we shall never surrender. I say we shall never surrender. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I did not get it all. I didn't have time to get it all. Amen. But church, I want to tell you this right here. What convicts us? Truth. You can never be convicted of something if it is never preached. A child will never know the heater's hot until you tell him. Don't touch it. Come on, church. Come on now. Why ain't conviction ever falls in our church? Because we never preach against sin. Hello? When you begin to preach against sin, when you begin to stand against sin, when you begin to stand for holiness, when you begin to stand for separation, then conviction can fall. Come on. Scripture said, every man is what? Right in his own eyes. Come on now. Huh? Amen. Every man is right in his own eye. But the way, he said, of it is death. Amen. And but what I'm trying to tell you, friend, don't worry about my way or your way. Let's accept the Word of God. Let's let conviction grip our heart. Come on, I just don't believe that, Brother Freeman. If you can't see what I preach, friend, why don't you go on a 2 or 3 day fast and ask God, God, am I right or is a preacher right? And I can guarantee you, conviction will fall in your heart if the Word of God has been preached and you're trying to argue against it. Take me wrong when I'm fixing. We had a boy one time from Catholic receive the Holy Ghost. We asked him, said, "You ever read the Bible?" He said, "No, I was taught from a child, don't never read the Bible." Said, "Because it will mess your mind up." You know why, friend? They taught them not to read the Bible, because when they begin to read the truth, then God's going to let conviction fall on the heart. And with conviction, friend, you got to do something. Huh?
That's right, amen.
Come on. When Acts 2:38 is preached, conviction going to fall. When conviction fall, then you're going to have to do something.
Amen.
Hello?
Thank you.
I'm closing this last remark. I know we didn't have song or nothing like that. Have y'all got anything out of what I said? I'm going to say this right here, friend. If our Pentecostal church don't watch it, friend, our services are going to get just like the Baptists is. And look, I don't want nobody to talk about it. I'm not trying to criticize or condemn nobody. Come on. If we want our service dead, friend, then you just stop worshiping God. If you want your services dead, you just start dressing like everybody else, looking like everybody else. When the sinners can feel comfortable in the house of God, around saints of God, there's something wrong. When you can't tell a Holy Ghost filled person from somebody without the Holy Ghost in a crowd, friend, there's something wrong. And you women, friend, can be distinguished above a man any day. Any day. Come on now. Whew. My God. Hallelujah. This is my closing remarks, okay? There's one thing I ask you. Don't ever lose. And that's a desire. Amen. I know the person one time, friend. This person made a lot of mistakes. But this person always got back up and would come to the house of God. And when God would begin to move, this person would just begin to worship God and get a hold of God. This person would leave. While later, this person might make another mistake and might fall flat on their face. But when this person got back up, this person came to the house of God. Why? Because of a desire. Because of a desire. Book, some of us, friend, We might not look like we fall so much. We might look like we're strong all the time. People might look at us and, man, I like to be like Brother Wayne. But you know what? What if Brother Wayne would have a desire? And if he would fall, and because no desire, he'd just give up. But this person, friend, every time they fell, they made their way back to the house of God. They lift their hands no matter what people thought or what people said because of a desire. Come on. We got people, friend, that are still affiliated with this church. They still look good. They still try to clap their hands. They still try to cry every once in a while. But they have lost their desire. What good is looking good? Come on now. What good, friend, is looking good? What good is a long dresses? What good is a long hair? When the desire is not there. That desire is what made that person keep on and getting back up. When that person would walk in the house, God, surely people would whisper. Surely people would talk when they go home. But this person had a desire. I don't care what anybody else. I fail, but I'm getting back up. What are you saying, Brother Freeman? Don't lose your desire. Come on. A lot of church denominational world, friend, today would rather sit home and watch TV than they would come to the house of God.
Lord, help us, Jesus.
Robeline, friend, I remember when I was a kid, 50 years ago, you could drive by any one of those churches, friend, it'd be packed to capacity. But today, friend, you won't have 3 or 4 cars at each church. Why? No desire. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Church, let's hold on to our standards. Let's hold on. Amen. Women, I still believe you look better in a dress than you do in pants. Women, your long hair still looks better than uncut hair. I believe you got power as of angels because of the uncut hair tonight.
Amen.
I don't believe, friend, we need to put dye in our hair and everything like that, friend, to try to look young, friend. Face it, we're going to get old. Sister Elsie, I believe your hair is beautiful. I really do. Brother Wayne, your hair is beautiful. What you got, son? What you got? Amen. Come on now. Amen. I think gray hair is beautiful myself. You know why? I went to school with boys that didn't live to get the gray hair. Amen. That's probably 3 or 4 of the guys that I went to school with is dead today. But I'm glad I've been privileged to get the gray hair. And I never did like red hair, so I'm going to like this gray better than I did red. Amen. Praise the Lord. Ladies, I have not forgot you. I know you think I have, but I have not forgot you. I asked Brother Wayne about this. He told me, go for it. I got some turkeys in my meat friends. I guess they You ladies remember that contest we had that time? You ladies that worked and beat the men? Whoever, don't tell me how long ago. Don't remind me. Amen. Amen. Whoever was going to lose going to have to fix the other one's supper. So we owe you ladies that worked on this thing, supper. So I asked Brother Wayne about frying 2 or 3 turkeys. He said, you don't need no 2 or 3. All you need is 1. So if you ain't got enough, it's his fault. So he finally went along with me to do 2. And I'm going to cook a big pot of 44s that night. It wasn't in the deal feed the men, was it, Brother Wayne? No, I'm joking. I enjoy it. Bless his heart. Boy, we love you. No, we, that's fellowship. But some of you ladies going to have to make the sweets now. Unless y'all want Chad Bo to make the sweets. Brother Dwayne can. So we're gonna get you supper in the next few weeks, okay? Please do. Amen. So God bless you is our prayer. We love y'all. I love y'all. Sister Brandy, how you feeling? Boy, that allergy is working on her. Mama, how you feeling? Been sick, my old gal, boy. Oh, God's good. Woo! God's good.